there. Welcome to A Wee Blither About, a podcast from the Academic Skills team at UWS. My name is Linda Riches and I'm one of the Academic Skills Advisors at the University. So today we're going to have a wee blather about academic writing and just some of the really simple things that you can do to improve your writing. It's a kind of term that a lot of students are maybe not used to. When you start at university, you think, what is academic writing? So as always, I'm joined by my fellow academic skills advisors. Hi, John.
Hi, Linda.
Hi, Carly.
Hi, Linda.
And Mary. Hi, Mary.
Hiya.
And hopefully collectively we can give you our top tips and a little bit of advice on academic writing. So probably bring in Carly first, just if we can unpick a little bit about what academic writing is. So that's a term that students will be familiar with and they'll hear lecturers talking about it. But what does it mean? Is it as scary as it sounds?
Yeah, we get lots of students who are maybe a bit unsure about what is expected for academic writing at UWS. And I think it's important to remember first that you do some level or degree of writing in life in a lot of different ways, whether you're maybe writing an email, any type of writing you might do at work, whether that's emails or presentations or records or note-taking. And you also might be messaging family members or friends. So you can write, but I think that what makes it academic is stepping away from a more conversational style and stepping into a style of writing that is a little bit more formal in tone and a little bit more intentional in what it's meant to achieve. Oftentimes, your academic writing is going to be directed by assessment questions or themes that you need to discuss with that intention behind it. So your assessment guidance will probably direct the type of writing that you do and the type of academic writing, because there are a few different types as well. But what is important to know, first and foremost, is that it's a little bit more formal rather than conversational. And again, and intentional. There's a goal behind it.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good way of thinking about it. I know for me, when I first had to, you know, encounter academic writing, my background was journalism, where I was used to writing in a very different way. So very short sentences, very to the point. And I was actually taught to write in such a way that if I wrote 10 paragraphs, I should be able to get rid of 9 of them and still be able to tell the story. That's kind of the way that you're taught in journalism. So coming into academic writing, I found that really strange. And, you know, that sort of idea of writing in the third person as well can really throw students off. Just wondering, maybe, John, can you remember sort of when you had to first encounter academic writing and what was kind of strange about it for you?
I don't know. I guess it's obviously been a kind of continuation of school in a way. So I don't know if I ever kind of
thought never about stopped.
It kind of that much when I was at university originally. But I would say, you kind of point there about clarity. I still think is important in academic writing and being concise with your with your language. As Carly mentioned, yes, there needs to be a certain level of formality in it, but ultimately as well, we don't need to go ultra formal either. We sometimes see that with a student's work where they think, oh, this has to be really, really academic, and they start throwing in lots of long words. And I think simplicity is key in academic writing to successful communication in your assignments. So it's always worth bearing that in mind as well.
That's true. It's getting that balance, isn't it? So you know, for me, when I was, you know, using that journalism style doesn't work in academic writing, but the clarity part of it does, that idea of getting to the point, which we talk about quite a lot. Mary, you did an English degree, didn't you? So how did that work for you when you were writing at university? Did you find that an adjustment, or did you find it like a continuation of school like John did?
No, I think I did have a bit of an adjustment, because I had to learn that even though I'm writing a book, I'm not writing like a novelist. I'm writing like an academic. And I did get told quite a few times that my writing was maybe a little bit complex, a little bit flowery. a little bit overly, you know, descriptive. And yeah, I'm not being marked as a novelist, as a writer, being marked on how succinctly, as John says, clearly and yeah, persuasively I can communicate my ideas, but not to let that get lost in lots and lots of language and things like that. So definitely had a little bit of a learning curve at the start.
Yeah, I imagine that must have been difficult, because when you're quite caught up in that in the language of a book, mm-hmm. and then you're talking about it, sometimes that transfers a little bit, and it's like, I'm writing the book.
Yeah.
I'm writing the follow-up book to it.
Stay away.
Yeah, interesting. So if we've got that idea of, you know, what academic writing is, then I guess we need to think then about some tips and some, you know, what we might call these days hacks, writing hacks that really work. Where do you start? I'll bring Marion here. Where do you start then with academic writing? You know, is the planning where you should start with it?
Absolutely. I would say, as Carly said, one of the defining things of academic writing is that we have a clear intention. And if you just start writing, that's not always going to come out very well. Just like if you just start speaking without really knowing what you're going to say at the end, you're going to lose your audience a bit along the way. And something that we might speak a wee bit more about is the fact that academic writing is not based just on what you think, but on the research that you've done. So the planning is absolutely key to do that research, see what's actually out there and how you're going to be able to make that into an argument yourself.
Yeah, so it's that idea, which we do talk about quite a lot in the podcast, of the sort of, you know, 2/3 of what you do should be the reading and the final third is the writing. There is that tendency to jump in straight away and think, I must write.
Yeah.
When actually you need to do that reading. Sorry, Mary.
No, and that actually, sometimes I say that to students and they think, oh, it's going to take me so much longer then. But the point of what you're saying isn't that research takes so long, but that it will make the writing more efficient, and the writing shouldn't be, you know, laborious and you're stuck on it for hours. The kind of planning helps you prep, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And thinking about that, you know, if we then, you know, do that reading and we do that preparation, when we do come to write, are there some really easy things that we could do? I'll maybe bring Carly in here. Are there any really easy things that we can do that are what I would call easy wins in terms of academic writing, so we're not making it too difficult for ourselves?
Yeah, there's a lot of different things that you can remember that can make the writing process more, air quotes, academic or formal, or kind of where it's meant to be for university study, as you're writing or as you're even in proofreading or revising your first small section of writing. Maybe finally got that paragraph down, that first paragraph, and you're thinking, am I even on the right track? Does this even sound good? That's something that students come to us a lot and say and ask. So some things that you might want to keep an eye out for are abbreviations or contractions. So couldn't, isn't, wouldn't, shouldn't, all of those can be spelled out to be more formal, to could not, is not, should not, and so on. You know, you can be mindful of informal phrases, colloquialisms, idioms, things like at the end of the day, unless you're writing a critical reflection, which that's a whole other podcast we have. I think maybe you are talking about the end of the day on placement, working with a patient or something, but it's more likely that instead of at the end of the day, you mean in conclusion or based on this evidence, or you know, you're wrapping up your ideas. So something more literal is probably better in those instances. You are likely to also want to use third person. It keeps it a little bit more detached. We say sometimes that academic writing is a little bit more detached. You're unlikely to use first person unless it's reflective again. So if you're writing about two different theories and comparing those, you probably won't be saying I, you, me, we, those types of pronouns. You want to be a little bit more detached to that. Keep it third person. The better your references are, of course, your citations, if you're looking through those, keeping those in order, then that's going to make sure that you're keeping to the conventions of academic writing and referencing. we talk a lot about the different types of referencing. There's lots of resources on that. And again, more podcast episodes about author-led references and information-led references, using the correct formatting for those and using those in kind of a mix of them is a really good way to add some flow to your writing. And again, a bit more, that word I can't stop steering away from, intention, probably behind which type of citation you're using, often author-led versus information-led. Lots of different things there that you can do that you can keep an eye on in your writing to make sure that you are writing academically.
Yeah. And I think, you know, that point as well that we've mentioned a few times about being concise, you know, and I think Mary mentioned earlier that, you know, tendency to think that you need to use lots of big words when actually, you know, don't use 20 words when 10 words will do. You can, you know, you can talk about an idea simply and clearly, and that can really help. Just, you want to demonstrate your understanding of what you've read rather than showing off lots of big words like you've swallowed a dictionary. And I guess that brings us to just some top tips. And I know, John, you've got some sort of thoughts on that in terms of things that can really help students just to keep them on the right track with academic writing.
Yeah, I think one of the important things to think about when you're writing is the message that you're trying to get across to your reader. And I think getting the flow right, this is something that often comes out of feedback, that students have got some great information, but their essays possibly don't flow. A couple of ways of just trying to create that flow within your paragraphs. Firstly, by being aware of what we call linking words. These are simple words to connect. Often they go first in the sentence. I'm talking here about words like however, to show a contrast, as a result, to show an effect of something. These are great. I mean, obviously, you don't want to be overusing these. We need to use a variety of these expressions. But I'd be trying to get if you're worried about the flow, trying to get at least one of those in each of the paragraphs that you use. Another technique with what we call cohesion or flow is to use the word this as the opening word in your sentence, and then a noun after that, which reflects the idea that you had in the previous sentence. So it could be something like, if you talked about a process in the previous sentence, maybe you didn't actually use the word process, but the idea in that previous sentence was about process. You can then use the phrase this process and then finish that sentence appropriately. Creates those links between the sentences and really helps, I think, explain your ideas carefully so that your readers will follow what the overall message is that you're trying to get over.
Yeah, I think that's quite important, isn't it? It's trying to sort of hold the reader's hand through the assignment as well, because otherwise you end up, and we often see this, don't we, you know, just a statement and then just another statement and then just another statement. And it might be referenced, but there isn't that flow. There isn't that kind of connection, like you were saying, John, of connecting what comes next to what you've just already said. You know,
I don't think students maybe think about this enough. It's in terms of it is a communication exercise, and you're communicating to your lecturers or your markers. It's a bit of a weird game at university because you're explaining to them something that they probably know already in terms of maybe the course material, but you're trying to show off that you understand that information.
Yeah.
So you've got to make that clear to somebody. It's okay if you understand it in your own head, but it is a communication exercise. So you should be trying to explain that, think about how you can get that message over to somebody that, you know, is not living in your head. You've got to get those ideas over to somebody else.
Yeah. And obviously, as you develop your writing, being able to expand on that a bit and to really sort of maybe show some, you know, some good thought around it and expand on those ideas, and therefore this might suggest, and bringing all those ideas together. So yeah, that's quite important. I think my bugbear and my tip to students is just about the basics of, you know, grammar and punctuation, the amount of students who just don't think it's terribly important or don't spend the time looking through. And, you know, I always sort of think a marker is going to sit down, and if the first thing that they're looking at are spelling mistakes and grammatical mistakes, that's just putting them in a bad mood before they even see whether you understand those ideas, how you're explaining them. So
the punctuation as well is also about kind of, it helps the reader understand your point. So it's also, that is an example there of where you do have to use punctuation marks because you want your message to get across to the reader. So
yeah, that's true. Any other sort of tips, anything that you always say to students, Carly or Mary, about academic writing? Your sort of kind of takeaway that you kind of find yourself always saying?
I mean, it's that balance, isn't it, between putting it in your voice and not making it too personal, right? Because you do want it still to be formal. So as John kind of said, it's, you're striking a balance because you are explaining things to your marker. But you have to remember that the only way you can get marks for things are if they're actually in your writing. You can't get marks for anything that is an implication or that you just assume that your reader's going to know. So anything that you want to get a mark for, so whether it's your critical understanding of a concept or kind of your understanding how things link together with that flow, that really has to be clear in your assignment. So if you look over things, you know, compare it to the rubric or anything like that, or if you get somebody who doesn't know anything about the topic to read it, there's anything that they're not going to get, you can't get a mark for it either.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. And Carly, anything that you would add to that? Anything that you'd sort of tell students?
I think one thing I say a lot, and this relates to, you know, not using complex language where it's not necessary, is that the goal of academic writing is to make it accessible. Probably more accessible than sometimes the resources you might be engaging with are written. Mm-hmm. If you are studying aerospace engineering and I were to open up an article on that you use for your paper, it's going to take me a while to digest some of those terms and maybe look some of them up. But I should be able to understand your essay just from reading it. Doesn't mean I'm going to go and suddenly get a degree after reading that. But you're taking things that sound really complex and not only making them clear, concise, and simple, but you're making it accessible to a wider audience. And I think that that's really important to remember as well. Your friend who's studying something totally different or a parent who's never done this before should be able to understand your essay.
Yeah, or your academic skills advisor. If someone comes to an appointment, you know, I think sometimes students think, why are we not subject specialists? But actually that is a benefit in terms of academic writing because we maybe know a little about a lot of things, but, you know, we're relying on the writer to explain those ideas to us, which is good. So we know that academic writing is quite a big subject. So I think we're going to do a second podcast. So this was really just a bit of an overview and we'll go into a bit more detail, I think, in the second podcast, just maybe thinking about paragraphing and paraphrasing and how to use that effectively. As I mentioned there, you know, you can speak to academic skills about your academic writing. You can always book a one-to-one appointment with us and, you know, make sure that, you know, you're on the right track. And always very happy to talk about, you know, anything from just getting the structure right to some of those sort of easy wins that we mentioned earlier. So thank you to Mary, Carly and John, as always, for the advice. And as always, we'd love any comments, any feedback on the podcast. If there's something we've mentioned that you want us to go into in a bit more depth, just drop us a line at skills@uws.ac.uk. Thanks for listening.